Let us look at the idea. Give you this hypnotic, oops, that's not so hip, there it is. Stare into it, you'll feel yourself going deeper and deeper into a trance. It looks like an ear over there, doesn't it? I wonder if that's a funny, it's a strange thing done to somebody's face. What do you think?
I don't know.
What is it?
Walmart paint mixing.
Oh yeah, paint mixing thing, there you go. Our perception is always skewed by our experiences. Learning forgiveness. We know the idea, and one of the things this is one of the functions of love. And this is where tying in God is love and his love for us in salvation. Our response to him is to be love. So we are to love as he loved. We are to forgive as he forgave. The last verse in Ephesians 4 says, forgive others. And you say, well, I don't want to forgive him. And you say, even as Christ hath forgiven you. And we go, oh, yeah, that's right. So learning forgiveness. The opposite of forgiveness is bitterness. Bitterness in our spirit is like poison in our body. It infects our thoughts, emotions, and decisions. You've seen it. Maybe you didn't recognize it. But it has damaging effects that will distort our face and dissipate our health. It is truly a poison within us. Freedom from that bitterness comes through forgiveness. We find forgiveness can be difficult until we see how the very offenses that caused our bitterness, or prompted our bitterness at least, are actually intended by God to be benefits in disguise. Not that he was disguising it, it's just that we didn't recognize it that way. So let's ask this question. What does it really mean to forgive? Forgiveness deals with our emotional response toward the offender. The idea here is that this is not pardon. We're not excusing what they did. We're not letting them get by. Pardon deals with consequences of his offense. And unless we have the authority, we may not be able to pardon an offense. But we can always forgive. To pardon, see, the idea, the difference is that if you were a policeman, I think, Brother Jeb, you were telling us about a policeman that was shot by a guy, but he was arrested and put in jail. Now the policeman didn't pardon him. He was not the judge, so he didn't pardon him. So the guy was arrested and actually sent to jail. But the policeman forgave him and went to visit him in prison and met some of those needs, and in fact helped him get out of being the type of person that he was. So the emotional response toward the offender is dealt with in forgiveness. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is, forgiving a person is clearing his record with us and transferring the responsibility for any punishment to God. Forgiveness will make it possible for you to have the same openness toward him after he offends you as you had before he offended you. Perhaps even more openness, more awareness at least. So here are six insights to assist us in looking at forgiveness from God's point of view. And we're going to be sort of looking at these in more detail as in later times. But here's the six insights. Number one, Forgiveness involves a positive attitude toward the offense rather than a negative attitude toward the offender. Let me explain that. If we focus on the offender after being offended, it is difficult to resist being bitter. If we first focus on the offense and forget for the moment who offended us, we are much better able to look at the offense as a significant part of our character development. This is the whole first chapter of James. Count it all joy when the diverse trials come upon you, see? Because God is teaching you something. He's developing your character. So just look at the offense. Now, notice this. Our response to the offense becomes the important concern. Not so much the person, not so much the offense. Our response toward the offense becomes the important concern. By this approach, both the offender and the offense fade into insignificance, and our response to the offense becomes the major concern. This is where you can count it all joy. This is where you can get excited. Wow, I have a problem. How exciting. God is doing something with me here. Number two, second insight, realize that forgiveness views the offender as a tool of God. Psalm 76:10, surely the wrath of man shall praise God. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. We have to recognize that a sovereign God, in the final analysis, it is God who uses the wrath of man to praise him. So you say, why would God be interested in having this guy offend me? Because God is touching you on the shoulder saying, notice that guy. When King David was chased from his throne by a rebellious son, a vile, hateful, and mistaken person tried to humiliate King David by publicly accusing him and cursing him. His name was Shimei. Here's the passage, 2 Samuel 16, 5-8. And when King David, you think how crushed he was to find his own son now coming in, ready to kill him. When King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of the King David. Of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. So this guy is not just a vile person, he's sort of a fool. These are people with weapons that he's throwing rocks at him. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial, evil man. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And Jehovah hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son, and behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Well, you couldn't have read through 2 Samuel and see how David was running away from Saul, had the opportunity to kill Saul, and refused to take it, and without realizing this man is a fool. David, at this point, and certainly at this point, could have become very bitter against him. In fact, his men had the swords out, ready to help him take his hat off. Instead, he viewed him simply as the agent of God. 2 Samuel 16:11, and David said to Abishai, who said, let me kill him, Lord. He said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son which came forth of my bowels seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? what do I worry about this idiot? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. David knew that what he was saying was wrong. David also knew that he deserved to be cursed of God for a lot of reasons. When Jesus was being crucified, he could have become bitter against all those who beat him and nailed him to the cross. Instead, he saw them as carrying out the very purpose of God for his life. This let him give forgiveness. Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." A third insight concerning forgiveness is this. Forgiveness looks at the wounds of the offense, your wounds, as God's way of drawing attention to the offender's needs. You say, surely there's a better way. Well, I'll tell you, nothing's going to get your attention any faster than somebody offending you. During Paul's ministry at Philippi, a demon-possessed girl followed him and disrupted his work. It says that he was grieved by it, but he could have become bitter at her interference, but instead he became acutely aware of her spiritual needs. Acts 16:16-18. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master as much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." You say, what's wrong with that? The problem is she was demon-possessed. This was probably, she didn't know these men. This was the demon speaking through her, you see. Imagine some horrible growling voice coming out of this young lady. "And this she did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit." He recognized what was going on here. He saw her need. "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. So he delivered her from her spiritual bondage, while she was the one offending him. Number four, fourth insight tonight, is that forgiveness recognizes that bitterness is assuming a right, assuming an authority we do not have. The facts are these: God is the master, we are the servants. God is the judge, we are fellow creatures. Only God has the right to punish. Romans 12:19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." So leave the punishment, the vengeance, to him. It's not your job. We are singularly unqualified to take vengeance. We don't know how to balance it out. We don't have the authority to really make them pay. We can go, you know, pendulum swing. We can not give them enough penalty. We can give them too much. It's just not our job. We're not qualified to be able to do it. When we react in bitterness, we seek revenge and retaliation. The lack of forgiveness, you keeping, holding back on forgiveness, does not have to result in our overt actions. This is not just you trying to run the guy off the road. Sometimes reacting in silence can be a means of punishing the offender. However you punish the offender, that's not your job. That's not your right. It's not your authority. You are usurping the authority of the true judge, God. Now, I don't know enough about law matters to find out if there's a name for that, usurping the authority of the judge, but I'm pretty sure that you can't get by with that. When we determine that we're going to punish them by giving them the silent treatment or by hurting them in some way. It keeps us from the positive. It keeps us from discovering and meeting the needs of the offender. Notice the context of the passage that we just read, Romans 12, 19, comes in this passage. How clear he says it. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, as much as it can depend on you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, here's what needs to be done. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And you say, aha, get him back after all. Well, the coals of fire here is just, he didn't expect you to react that way. Number five, forgiveness realizes that the offender, you can have a little pity, he realizes that the offender has already begun receiving the consequences of his offenses. The consequences are up to God, and God has already built us in such a way that these consequences have begun. We know in our heart that a person's happiness is contingent on his harmony with the basic principles of life. I mean, you know or have heard of people that seem to have everything and weren't happy. The more they had, you know, the more they worried about it. They worked and worked for success, and then they seemed to get the success, and the next thing you know, they killed themselves. Why? Because it just wasn't what they thought it was going to be. It wasn't this great happiness cure-all deliverance from everything else. So you have to live in harmony with God's principles of life. When a person offends us, he is violating one or more principles of life. These violations have a deep effect on his own happiness and success. And these consequences are entirely apart from anything we could do to the person. I'm not talking about how you hurt them back. See, how you didn't speak to them anymore. I'm talking about what's going on in their life. What am I talking about? The consequences take the form of reproofs of conscience, alienation of friends, and any number of unpleasant circumstances in his life. If we, through our bitter attitudes, put additional barriers between us, the offended one and the offender and the offended one, even when he recognizes the seriousness of his offense, he will resist giving us the privilege of helping him. When you jump on and put the barriers between, you lose the opportunity to do what God has called you to do, meeting those needs. And then number six, forgiveness involves cooperating with God in the offender's life. When a person intentionally offends us, we can be sure he's going to be fully aware of our reactions to him. In fact, he may be looking forward to dragging you into a warfare of words and actions, dragging you down. In this case, we have a significant opportunity to demonstrate the potential forgiveness of God. As he sees our openness and love to him, he will be able to comprehend the same openness and love that God has toward him, in spite of his offenses toward God. In 1 John 2, 8 through 11, notice the warning that John gives about the attitude of bitterness versus the attitude of love. He says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past. You're saved now. The darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He only thinks he's a Christian. He's just trying to act like a Christian. He doesn't have the Christian heart. He's in darkness even to now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So here's the scary thing. Are you content with your bitterness and holding on to that lack of forgiveness? Well, that says something about your heart. John says, you're still in darkness. You're still stumbling along, and in fact, don't know where you're going. You've been blinded. When someone intentionally offends us, it indicates that the offender has personal deficiencies of which he may not be aware. In this case, our continued openness toward him may provide the opportunity to be of personal help to him. If he's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him to drink. Personal help to him in the areas revealed by his offenses. The reward of meeting his needs to you will be a spirit of joy as you then see him sharing with others the same attitudes that he saw in us. You see his growth. It is a reflection of how you properly responded to his offenses. So, six insights concerning forgiveness, and we'll get into the working part of it next time as God allows. Comments or questions? This is the heart and soul of Christian work, isn't it? Christian relationships. Pretty hard to get through life without somebody offending you. And it's really hard when you feel betrayed. Really hard when you find that the person seems to have intentionally offended you. Shimei, coming out lying about him, throwing rocks at him, saying, you're getting everything you deserve. All right.